Let's hear the word of the Lord together. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another, and they will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its truth, given to us under the inspiration and the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, open our hearts and quiet our hearts and minds to receive from you today your word and your message to us. Lord, we thank you that your truth is ever relevant to our life. Your truth and your word does not change. And Father, we've come again today to hear from you. Lord, your word is that bread of life and that water to our soul that refreshes us this morning. So Lord, when we've been here this morning, may we hear directly from you and leave this place knowing that it has been good to be in your house today to meet with you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. And this Thursday, families are going to be gathered together to sit down for the turkey and the stuffing and the sweet potatoes and the mashed potatoes and the corn and the pumpkin pie. And everybody getting hungry yet? Making your mouth water yet? For this wonderful dinner together, to pause and to give thanks to God and many blessings. But for many this year, Thanksgiving may not seem the same. What a year it has been, has it not? And for some, we'll sit down at that table and maybe they have to have a virtual celebration because the families can't be together and travel. Others maybe will have people missing at the table this year due to death with COVID or other things that happen. And so as they sat down at that table, they may feel like this, that everything was rushed, smashed in front of them, and not feeling like giving thanks at all for what a year 2020 has been. And we look back on it, and this is going to be one we're all going to remember. And we may not feel like giving thanks, but God's word says, everybody read it up here, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say in some things, does it? But in everything give thanks. Even in 2020, give thanks. Because God is good. Amen? We can believe that. He is good in all things. Not just when things are well. There's always something to be thankful for. Come across this little cartoon. Because there's always something to be thankful for. These two turkeys were discussing what they had to give thanks for. And the one says, "What are you thankful for?" And the other said, "Vegetarians." Because, you know, we can give thanks in everything. There's always something positive. One of my favorite cartoons is the Peanuts. I love the Peanuts. And one year, and there's a magazine in the cartoon in the paper where Snoopy was getting his Thanksgiving dinner and Charlie Brown was bringing out his meal. And it was Thanksgiving, so Charlie Brown was bringing out the meal and Snoopy thought he was going to get something special. But he ends up bringing the dog food, the same as he got every single day. Snoopy looked at it, and he said, "That's not fair. He said, just because I'm a dog, you have to give me dog food. It's Thanksgiving. I should have something special. Just because it's Thanksgiving, you give me dog food." But then he thought a minute. He said, "You know, it could be worse. I could be a turkey." A Sunday school teacher asked her class what they were thankful for. I love it when these teachers, Sunday school teachers, ask their students what they love or what they're thankful for. And a little girl said, "I'm thankful for my bedroom because my younger brother has to share a room, but I get to have one all to myself. So I'm thankful for my bedroom." Next, the little boy said, I'm thankful for my puppy. I got him as a present for my birthday, and I play with him every day, so I'm thankful for that. And another boy thought for a moment, and he said, well, I'm thankful for my glasses. And his teacher said, your glasses? Why are you thankful for your glasses? He says, well, I'm thankful for my glasses because they keep the boys from hitting me, and they keep the girls from kissing me. But if you want to think of giving thanks in all situations, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of great adversity, let's think back to the very first Thanksgiving. Think back to the pilgrims. As they made that trip in 1620 from England, it took them 66 days across the ocean on a boat that was 26 feet by 112 feet, 66 days, and many did not survive the trip. They landed off the coast of New England in December, planning to go to Virginia, but a storm blew them off course. Landing in December of 1620 in Massachusetts, just in time for New England winters. And the winter was very harsh. And nearly half of them died. Their daily rations came down to the point that they had 5 grains of corn per day to live on. Of the 102 that came over on the Mayflower, only 7 remained healthy enough to nurse the sick and to care for the others. But yet, they trusted God. They worked for nearly 7 years to pay for the loan for the trip they had to make over here. But after suffering every kind of hardship and a harvest, they had a harvest of 21 acres of corn. And in the fall of 1621, they gathered together to give thanks to God for his blessings. The little group led through the field by Governor William Bradford marched triumphantly through the cornfield, singing this, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein." And they sat down to a meal in gladness and in joy, giving thanks to God for no matter what. Yes, they had hardship. Yes, they had trials, but yet God was good. God was faithful, and God provided. And in that, they gave thanks. Because, dear friends, there's always something to be thankful for. So I ask this morning, what are you thankful for? Health, home, family, friends, food, those are some. But in Psalm 145, the psalmist, David, gives us 6 reasons of why we can give thanks. They're all listed for us here in the psalm as we look together. And as we celebrate our blessings and give thanks to God, this is some of the things we can thank him for this morning. We can thank him first that the Lord is king. Notice what he says. He said, I exalt you, my God, the king, in verse 1. And I praise your name forever and ever. Now that's something that, remember, David, who wrote this, was a king himself. But he said, God is king. And we can rejoice this morning that our God is king. That means he's on the throne, he's in control, and we can trust him in that. It says, let us come before him with thanksgiving, and let us sing songs of praise to him, for the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. Psalm 95, verses 2 through 3. So the fact that our God is king, he is in control. And things in our life that you and I can't control, and it seems like this virus is out of control, it's one thing, but so many things that we feel out of control in, we have a God who is a king, who is Lord, who is on the throne, and we can trust in him. And we can believe in him. And that's something to praise him for today. In a chaotic world, we have a Lord who is guiding history. We have a Lord who is in control of all things and setting things right. So praise him in that regard. He is king. He is ruler. He is Lord. You can also praise him this morning because God is good. Our Lord is good. Verse 7 says that I will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's who he is. He's good in his nature. He's good in what he does. He's good in who he is. And the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. We may look around us. We may see what's going on in the world, and through this year, we may say, this has not been a good year at all. But you know, our God is good. And he works good out in all that he does. Do you believe that? It's true. Romans tells us in 8:28 that God works out for the good of those who love him and know him. Works out his good purpose in us and through us. We may not always be able to see it. We may not always understand it. And I don't know, I confess to you, I wish at times God would let me know and let me see the end and purpose of some of it sometimes, but we don't. Can't always until we get through it sometimes, or maybe we may not ever know. In the case of Job, as you know, the Lord never revealed to him why he went through what he did. But yet Job learned to trust him, and he learned to praise him and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And we can praise God that he is good. We not always may not understand what he's doing, but know that what he is doing is good for us. And that's something to praise him for. In the midst of all that we go through in our life every day, when things seems like good is not happening around us. Another reason to give thanks in this psalm is that the Lord is gracious. Verse 8 says that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. There's his goodness again. He is good to all, and his compassion, he has compassion on all that he has made. Our God is a gracious God. And Psalm 103, one of my favorites, says that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever, for he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the east, the high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. His graciousness, that our God, your God and mine, who loved us and gave himself for us, is a God of grace, that is slow to anger. He's abounding in love. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, and a lot of you aren't as old as me yet, so you have a way to go. But the older I get, the more thankful I am for God's grace. I guess because the older I get, the more I need grace. Because the older I get, the more I forget things. The more I forget. Do you ever have that problem? You know, and I'm thankful that my God and ours is a gracious God. That he is slow to anger. He's abounding in his love. He's unfailing. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. A lesson there. And he does not treat us as our sins deserve. But instead, he gave himself on the cross. And he died for you and me. He looked down from the cross in love and said, Father, forgive them. And as he paid with his blood for us, that we could be set free. That's grace. Grace that knows no limits. And because he does not treat us as our sins deserve, and aren't you thankful he doesn't? Our calling then is to treat others in the same way. To forgive as we have been forgiven. But so often we like to treat people as their sins deserve. We don't want to show mercy on someone. We want to be forgiven, but it's harder for us to forgive them. But our God is gracious And as we seek to be like him, he calls us as well to extend that grace. He is king, he is good, and he is gracious. Another reason to praise God this morning is that the Lord is faithful. We have a faithful God. In verse 13, the last part of the verse, it says, "The Lord is faithful to his promises, and he is loving towards all he made. He, Lord, upholds those who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." Our God is faithful in that he keeps his word to us. It says he's faithful to all that he's promised. That when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, he will forgive us. That when we, what we need, he has promised that he will provide. We can count on a God who will not break his word to us. And everything he has spoken to us here is true. He will not break his word like so many. Thank the Lord, our Lord is not like politicians. They are not faithful to their word at all. But our God is faithful and his truth and keeps his word. But he also restores the fallen. It says in verse 14, "The Lord upholds those who fall, and he lifts up those who are bowed down." That's the humble. And those who come before him in humility. And when we fall on his face in worship, but also when we fall in sin, we have a God who is able to restore us. And he's faithful to bring us back again and to receive all who come to him. Restoring the fallen, providing for our need. Verse 15 and 16 says that the eyes of all look to you, meaning the picture there is the picture of a bird, little baby bird looking to the mother to bring its food, or our eyes focused on God because he is our provider and all that we need. And he gives us our food at the proper time. And it's a picture, if you've seen a baby bird when the mother's coming to bring the food to its nest, how its eyes are there and it's open, ready for the mouth to receive the food. And that's the picture there. It's talking about us with God, that we're looking to him every day for him to give us our need at the proper time. And again, notice that the proper time, because God's timing and his goodness is always right, not ahead or not late. But he knows the exact time and to trust him in that. And sometimes he'll take us to the end of ourself so that we learn to trust him better in his provision and faithfulness and his goodness to us. But he provides fully what we need. And he opens his hand to satisfy our every desires of our every living thing. It all comes from him. Thanksgiving, we pause to remember that, but for us, it shouldn't just be one day. It should just be an attitude of lifestyle to give thanks every day for God who provides our daily bread. That's how he taught us to pray. That takes us back to in the nation of Israel when they were gone through the wilderness those 40 years. And every day, God provided manna from above for that daily need to remind them that he is their daily provider. The same for us as well. So he is faithful. Praise him for his faithfulness to you. As you look back in your life, you can see the faithful hand of God. And where would you be without that? It's just something to thank him for this morning. We also praise him and give him thanks because the Lord is just. Verse 17 says that the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and he's loving towards all he has made. Word righteous or just means that he is right, that he is holy, absolute justice. But we live in an unjust world where it seems like people get away with things. And sometimes that cry for justice in us says, man, I just wish I could see people brought to justice sometimes. And it doesn't happen. Because we live in a fallen world. But our God is just, and our God judges justly. And he is righteous in all that he does. And someday, he will make everything right. Someday, he will put right all the wrongs, all the injustices, and he will set it all right in the end. And we can praise God that we serve a just God. Not only just in his judgment, but just in how he cares for us. He looks out for your best and ours. And he is righteous, and he calls us to that same righteousness and justice to extend in his light, in his name, as we follow him. And the sixth reason to give thanks this morning is that the Lord is near. Notice what it says as this psalm closes in verse 18 through 20. It says that the Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. And he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry, and he saves them. The Lord watches over those who love him, but over the wicked he will destroy. You can give thanks this morning because your God is king. He's on the throne. He is unequaled in his power and his greatness and his glory. His word, he spoke, and everything came to be in a moment. But that same very God, who is king, who is just, who holds the universe in his hand and keeps everything in its where it needs to be, is the same God that is near you this morning. He's the same God that hears your cry in the middle of the night when nobody else may not. It's the same God who is near you that we're going to get ready to celebrate soon at Christmas. Whenever he was given the name Emmanuel, meaning God with us through Jesus Christ, living in us through the Holy Spirit. If that's not a reason to praise God, that God, the creator of the universe, is with you and in you always, hearing your cry when nobody else does, hearing and understanding those burdens and heartaches of your heart that no one else may understand or hear, but God does. He feels that. He's near and he sees you. It says that the Lord watches over you and watches over those who love him, knowing that his eyes are fixed on you. And that just blows me away when I think of the God of the universe and all the billions of people in the world and all that God is doing as ruler. And yet his eyes focused on me and his eyes focused on you. And he knows every one of us so intimately that the scripture says that even the hairs of our head are numbered. And every morning, I notice when the hair's in the shower, the Lord has to change his arithmetic, but he knows it. You know, he's that intimate of his knowledge about you and me. And even if a sparrow falls to the ground, he takes notice. What a wonderful God we have. Is that a reason to praise him this morning? Yes, it's been a difficult year. But you have a God who's near. You have a God who knows you so well, who gave himself for us, that we could have that personal relationship with him. He's as close as the mention of his name, that whisper of Jesus, and he's there, carrying our burdens, sharing in our praise, working out his goodness in all that he does. So there's always a reason for Thanksgiving. As you sit down at your table this week, as you pause to give thanks to God, yes, you want to thank him for your family, for all the blessings that he's provided, for all that we have because it's come from him. But also give thanks the fact that he is king. He is good. He is gracious. He is faithful. He is just. And he is near. What a mighty God we have. Let's give him thanks and rejoice in his goodness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful God you are. And Lord, this has been a challenging year for many of us, a year that a lot of us will remember, and a lot of people may not feel like giving thanks. But Lord, in everything, we are to give thanks for this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. It's not optional. It is your will. It's very clearly stated for us in your word. And so, Lord, there's always something to thank you for. There's always blessings in our life of your goodness. We rejoice in the fact that you are King. You are sovereign. You are on the throne. You are in control, not us. That you are guiding all history. That you are Lord and King over this virus and over all the other things in our life that we face. And we can trust you in it because, Lord, you are also good. And you are working out your goodness behind the scenes in ways that we may not understand or see. But through eyes of faith, we can trust you. And know that your good purpose is always the end result. Lord, we also thank you that you are gracious. That you not treat us as our sins deserve. But through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave yourself for us on the cross that we could be forgiven through our faith in you. That you are slow to anger, you are abounding in love for us. And you don't treat us as our sins deserve. So thank you, Lord, for your grace that you bestow upon us daily. Help us as well to extend that same grace to those around us. Father, we thank you that you are faithful. You are faithful to your promises. You are faithful to your word. You're faithful in providing for our needs. In the times that we're not faithful, you remain ever faithful. And we can praise you and trust you in that. Great is your faithfulness, Father. We thank you as well that you are just. That when we live in an unjust world, that you are just and you are righteous in all you do. And someday you will set it all straight. And you call us to show your righteousness and your judgment to those around us. That your justice and righteousness will be lived out in us, that people would see you displayed through what we do and how we treat others. And Father, we thank you as well that you are near. You're near and you hear our cries. Those times we can't sleep at night, you are awake with us. You always watch over us. You care for us deeply. You're so intimate and personal with every one of us through your Son and through your Holy Spirit abiding within us. We have so much to thank you for. You indeed are a good God. So receive our thanksgiving and our praise this morning, not only on this day, but on every day, as we give thanks to you and come before you with thanksgiving, for you are worthy and you are praised as we exalt your name, through whom be all glory, praise, and honor, through our Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.